Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. You know, I love having these heart to heart conversations. Anointed speech is always welcome with me, whether it's whoever's teaching, whether it's me or somebody else. I love the anointed word of God being spoken to me. You know, I love every man and woman of God who can just go in the Lord's presence and speak his word. It's a wonderful thing. It's a privilege. I don't look at it as some would, like, I don't look at it as prestigious. I look at it as a privilege, because I know for a fact I've been with Thurston all of his life. I am Thurston. I know what I've done. I know how I thought. And then I know what the work that the Lord has done in me. I never get used to the fact that the Lord can use his people. And I thank him for every time that he helps me to minister to people. It's not like ministry to me personally. It's not like man's talking. It's more like God is talking. It doesn't matter who the speaker is. As a minister coming up, I always enjoyed ministers when they were anointed, when they spoke by the anointed, the anointing. And there were many times I desired to minister, because when the Lord puts a word in your heart, it wants out. It wants to get out there and do its job. You know, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. It wants to do something. The word of God has its own free will, and it wants to obey God. And the more you receive the word of God, you end up wanting to do what the word does at your own will. And a lot of times people stop it. They stop the process because they need more courage. You know, Paul asked people to pray for his boldness. But when you start speaking that I am bold, and you believe in God for your boldness and courage to be appropriate and say something at the perfect time, in the perfect way. Sometimes I would brace what the Lord was doing because I didn't know how to begin the process. Sometimes I needed courage. Sometimes I needed just be bold. The Lord, you know, about a year or so ago, the Lord said, you need to be more frank with people. So I started working on it. Every time the Lord tell me something, I work on it. But the fire that shut up in your bones is always wanting to do God's will. And when it gets near that time and the audience is there, the people that the Lord gave you this word for, you know, you can hardly contain it. I've been at churches where I had to minister and you know, the choir had to sing and they had to give all the announcements. It's like the time couldn't run fast enough. And then time I got up there, I was ready to go. And in the early days, I usually didn't have but 15, 20 minutes. I mean, if I had 45 minutes, man, that was very unusual. And I've always been a sprint preacher, not because I didn't want it to be that way, but that was the time that people gave me. And so much time, I could tell so much time was wasted, and sometimes you couldn't get it all out. But I said, if the Lord ever promote me in ministry, I'm going to do it his way. I'm not going to delay the anointing. I'm going to use it. That's why sometimes I run out of time while I'm talking. I don't get to put a closing in on every website broadcast or every radio broadcast. I run out of time because the Lord is working and he has so much time to work. And I want to get as much of the word out, because that audience that's there at that particular time, things are going to be different next time. They may not listen to the next broadcast. So I begin with an introduction, and I just do the best I can do. And I run out of time, and with this website, it won't hold but so much information. It won't hold but 30 minutes, around 30 to 32 minutes. And that's, once you get so many megabytes, it just shuts off. It won't accept it. So I have to stop at a certain time. So, but God is good. And I thank him for this vehicle called the internet that he invented. He gave man the knowledge to build this thing. And it's a wonderful thing. so that the anointing of God can be broadcast. And I used to get aggravated when I had a word, and sometimes people wouldn't give you the time, a chance to use it. You know, most of the messages I've gotten were never preached. I'd tell the pastor, the Lord gave me a message. Now, these were years ago, and they discounted it. They wouldn't let you preach it. So, and that fire would be shut up, and it would grieve God. It would grieve me too. It did grieve me, but I said, well, I forgive him. Ain't no problem. I just do what I can do. But the Lord, I do remember it used to grieve the Holy Spirit too, because he gave me a message and I could tell the people needed it and even wanted it. But sometimes men and women can be so stubborn. I'm talking about men and women of God. They can be stubborn to the Holy Spirit. And I don't even know if they realize it or not. But sometimes, when the Lord give you something, there's a witness. There's always a witness. Sometimes even they would say something close to that message that God gave me in my heart. And that word wanted to get out. But, you know, when you're in somebody else's house, you can't do what you want to do. You have to, they're in charge of it. So, and this is what used to happen. This was common. The word of God was ready. The anointing was there. I would study in case they changed their mind. I would be ready. And then when the time passed, the fervency would leave. I could feel it. And the disobedience was done. And the people were gone and they didn't get the word. And I didn't get to give it, and it wasn't my fault. And the Lord allowed these things to happen so that I could see what was happening. Some people may not pay attention to these things, but I know for a fact that something was wrong, and I didn't know why. And I said, you know, all the things were, the Lord knew the condition of the church. And when he told me that the biggest problems in the church is my people don't follow me. And during those days, so many churches split, even the church I went to split. And people got in sin, they got in trouble, they did this, they did that. They had strife among each other. And these are the people that's supposed to be winning the loss. And you know, the enemy was, it looked like, you know, he was gaining ground and they were losing ground. So I made some commitments. I said, if the Lord ever put me in a position to be a blessed people, I'm going to do people right. I'm not going to just discount what God is doing in other people's lives. And there's so much respect to person among the people of God. And I don't like saying that, but it's just the way it is. People look up but if they look up to you, they treat you different. If they look down on you, they treat you different. But God doesn't do that. And I realized the Lord doesn't do people that way. I remember when I worked at a dealership, the man that owned the dealership walked in. And one of the managers there, you know, he gave him much respect. He even got nervous because he came. And I noticed it, you know. And around other people, he didn't get nervous. And I said, God doesn't do that. I said, God owns everything. And when I'm in his presence, I don't feel nervous. And then to see somebody get nervous because somebody that's rich is around, you know, that's not right. That ain't no good. So that's just a man. Why should anybody be nervous in his presence? And I started, you know, reconsidering how I look at things when I'm around people that are further along in life. They may be wealthy, they may be more educated, they may be a better speaker, they may do things in a much better way than I can. That's just a person. I don't have to feel nervous and intimidated because God made everything, and in his presence I feel welcome. There's no pride to make me feel intimidated. And I said, wow, you know, the wonders of God. God is good. And I learned from it. I learned from everything that he does. But when you have a word in you, that word wants out. And we need to, it takes faith. It always takes faith to minister the word of God as he gives it. And it's going to, and some words are more, when it's in you, what the way to minister it is in you, everything is in you. When because it's God's gift, it's his mercy, and it's his way of blessing us. He gives us something for his to nourish his body. The word that he give you is medicine for somebody. It's deliverance for somebody. It's knowledge. It's wisdom. It's God's knowledge. God's wisdom. And I said, well, I don't want to mess it up, so I'm going to say what he give me to say. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away. That was my strategy, so that I wouldn't taint it. But sometimes people use the platform of ministry to show off and to make people look at them. And that's what's the difference. That's what Lucifer did. I want people to look to Jesus. When you look, if I can help you, assist you to look to Jesus, then he's going to take it from there. You're going to learn the heart of God. And then you'll be able to minister better than those that you used to. It's not a competition. I say better because you're going to have more knowledge. You're going to see things more like him. When you're looking to him and you're receiving what he say and you're acting on it, the same two-edged sword that he is the same two-edged sword that you will become, because we bear fruit after our kind. So does Jesus. When we listen to him and hear his word and carry ourselves like him, the people that see us will see him, and we automatically bear fruit according to what we see in him. If you believe in God for something, always look to Jesus. Don't look to the problem. Don't look to the pain. Don't look to the obstacle. Don't look to the challenge. Don't look to the expectation of others. And you're going to have to use the word and destroy all that negativity. The persuasions of others. People are not used to you being healed because you were on your sick bed for a very long time. And they try to sympathize and soothe you. Reject all that and receive the healing of God. They mean well, but don't let that stop cause you. When I say reject all that, I mean don't let that stop you from receiving your healing and going forward just because others don't expect you to live. Surprise them. Be the light of the world. Whenever you take on God's word, if you were sick and then you become healed, that's light. You just became a sharp two-edged sword yourself. Because you're displaying the handiwork of God. You're displaying his mercy. You're displaying his grace. You're displaying the faith of God in you. You're displaying the covenant of God when you get up out of that sick bed. So if you're in a sick bed, if you're in a condition, any condition, believe God for the missing parts. Believe God for your healing. Change the facts on the ground. Shame those of the world. Condemn the works of Satan. Condemn them. Condemn the works of darkness. Do not let the works of darkness advance in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Walk in it. One day I said, I refuse to die by Satan's hands. I said, I will never die at his hands. I will never die by terrorists. I will never die at his will. But I'm going to finish all of my course and do all that's in God's heart. And that became my confession, and I love it. I will not change and I will not back down, because it's too important. And the more I live, the more determined I am. The more I receive of God's word, the more frank I am with people. And it's important. Now, the Lord put something on my heart. We've been displaying how the Laodicean church is represented in the works of King Saul. Now, Saul was not in the church, but his actions, he was sitting in the seat of Moses. And he did the same thing, no different than the Laodicean church. And I thought about something about this lesson that the Lord has given. And it doesn't look like in the discourse of what Jesus said that they were too bad. You know, they had a reputation of being good, but God saw this problem of them being lukewarm. So what I'm going to do now, at God's will, I'm going to read what Jesus said about the Laodicean church, and then I'm going to explain what he put on my heart. Now this is Jesus talking in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thou works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Now look at this for a moment. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, I don't have to trust God, I can trust my money, and increase with goods, I eat every day, I'm not lacking, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Now what's the difference? Saul was in the same condition. The rich young ruler was too. They had plenty, but their love didn't increase. They were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wretched, worried, frustrated, miserable. They're not enjoying life anymore. Poor. Now it said that they had goods. They increased with goods, but they were still poor. Spiritually, they were poor. They had no thriving relationship with God. They were not receiving this wisdom. They rejected it. They didn't put God first. They put him second or third. They were blind. They couldn't see their faults. They thought they were all right. On YouTube, there's a Ugandan preacher, and you need the Ugandan pastor. Go to YouTube and watch what the Ugandan pastor said. And this is a good illustration of what blindness is. And they were naked. God could see them for what they were. And they could not. They thought they were fine. Verse 18, he said, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And the same, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Now this is what will change the course of a lukewarm person. He counseled them to buy gold, because God rewards those who faithfully obey him. So faithful obedience is the first step. Looking to God, having a single eye, is the way you buy gold from God. Because you got to be rewarded for the works that you do. And the works have to be pure works. They're not pure works unless they're from your heart, from a heart of love. So the first step is loving God, seeing him, keeping your eye on him. Your first love is on him. Your greatest desire is to do his will. And that's how you buy gold, tried and fire, that thou may be rich for real. And stop looking at the natural money, pretending to be rich. And white clothes, white raiment. Raiment is clothes. Put on white clothes. That means righteousness. Now, if they had to put on white clothes, they were not righteous. They were living an unrighteous life. That thou mayest be clothed. And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Walk in love. That's your eye salve. You'll see more when you decide on your own free will to love people like you love God. And love God. And just like Jesus loved the church, according to 1 Peter, that shows you how to make every relationship you have a very healthy one. If you can love like Jesus did towards everybody. And it started with the family. Because if you can love the family, the house you grow up in, the house that you live in, you can love anybody else. So if you love like Jesus, that's how you attain Isael. Then he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, this is the Laodicean church. God didn't hate them. He warned them, rebuked them, and guided them because of his love for them, his great love. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. I'm saying these things so the process can be stopped. The most faithful people will listen to these website broadcasts. And it's my assignment in these few broadcasts to share the problem so that it can be solved. Because as God uses you out in life, people are going to notice it, and they're going to be blessed by you, and they're going to learn from you. And they'll be the kind of fruit that you become from Jesus is the kind of fruit that they'll become because of your anointing. He said, be zealous and repent. Zealous means you're not lazy. You have a zeal to obey God. You were chastened, you repented, you became zealous, and then you changed your whole course. You go in God's way instead of the way of the wicked world. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, in the day that Jesus gave these writings to John, the persecution came more so from the outside than the inside. The standard was the 12 apostles sent to the Jews and the 12 apostles sent to the Gentiles. And so that's 24. As long as they were alive, Paul was sent to the Gentiles, and there was others, Silas, Barnabas, and others that were named. They was in Timothy. They were sent to the Gentiles. And John was sent to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. So the first 12 was primarily sent to the Jews. They didn't have to travel all over the world like Paul did. So when John wrote Revelation, the first apostles were still intact, and the first 12 that witnessed Jesus' sin. So the corruption in the church didn't creep in till later. It didn't it was at bay. All of the corruption that was in the church, it didn't begin to the false prophets, they kept their mouth shut while the apostles were alive. So the Laodicean church wasn't completely infiltrated, but their lack of love was a seed. It was in seed form. They left that first love, and they looked at how rich they were, and they stopped looking to God. They stopped, their eye was, their focus had been distracted by the world, and they became lukewarm. But they didn't get to the final stages yet. They didn't behave themselves like Paul, like not Paul, I'm sorry about that, I didn't mean to say Paul. I meant Saul, King Saul. They didn't behave like King Saul yet. Because there was still light there. And they didn't want to. If they openly go against the 12, the whole church wouldn't have recognized them anymore. So as long as the 12 were at bay, anybody that had a mind to be lukewarm and a heart to be lukewarm, they just kind of kept it to themselves. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 1, now this is Peter talking. And remember, when John wrote this, he was old, so it was beginning to happen. All right, but it didn't take form yet, like it is today. It wasn't as, these days were not as bad. All the pressure came from the outside, usually from the Jews. The Jews were acting just like Saul, the Pharisees. They were trying to get the Jews arrested everywhere they go, everywhere they went. They gave them trouble and tried to turn the people around from believing on Jesus. And they hated Jesus, just like Saul hated David. They tried to kill him. They tried to nail him to the wall with a javelin. The church at that time was being persecuted. Even those who went lukewarm, they were persecuted too. But not as bad because they went lukewarm. The devil's not going to fight himself. But look at chapter 2. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter's talking. He said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingers not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bring in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turn the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that after shall live ungodly, and deliver just Lot's vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and reserve the unjust until the day of the judgment to be punished." Now he was saying that that the false teachers would creep in after the Lord, after the apostles die out. And it's happening. It happened just like he said. He knew what they would do, because he said but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. Now, when the apostles died out, the first witnesses of Jesus Christ of sin, when they died out, things began to change. People started desiring power more than the love of God. And they started acting on that. And they started desiring it more and more until it got to this point. There was a dark ages for many centuries when the word of God was not preached the same way it was and the way it is now. But the Lord is faithful. He always had people that loved him from every generation and from every country, every tribe. There were people who loved him, and the Lord always saved them. God loves us and he cares about us. He wants us to be aware of the things that's happening. And I used to wonder as a child, how did things get to this point? The way people act and the way people behave, how did it get to this point? And that was my question from a child. I remember that when I was very young, I used to ask all my the adults in the house my questions. I had all kind of questions, but I had to stop asking them because they didn't know. Not the questions I wanted answers to. But once I got saved at the age of 19, I started asking the Lord, and he started helping me understand some things. And then the word of God answered my questions. Now, God loves us, and his healing is here. He's already provided what everything we need in the word of God. We have to believe it and stand on it. The wisdom of this world says no. Don't trust God. We want something we can control. We want to look good before man, and we can't do it with you working miracles and receiving miracles. If God is talking to you and he's telling you how to navigate your life, we don't like all that because we can't do it. Because we love, you know, they don't say these things, but that's how they feel. They can't do it. They don't want to love God. They love the prestige and the promise. I mean, the prestige and the fame and the prosperity without God. So wicked men, that's how they act. They act just like Saul. They'll try to nail you to the wall with a javelin, so to speak. But remember, just like we said in the last broadcast, the new murder is slander. And people really do get upset when you get healed and blessed. And now, that not everybody, but people that are wicked will. And some people are not used to seeing people the handiwork of God. You know, when people get healed and I tell them about it, I have no reputation of being a liar. They know how I carry myself, so they have to consider that. But God loves his people. And then most people want you to pray for them when they're down. But there are people out there who love this world more than they love God. And they're not hard to find. That's the problem. I wish it was different, but it's not. There are many who will say no to the Holy Spirit. That's not God's will. But people do it all the time. But the Lord is raising up people who love him. Now watch what happens as people grow in the Lord, loving him, putting him first, keeping a single eye on the Lord. These are the people that God can bless